Well, it's Easter Sunday. The Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. Christos Anesti, the Greeks say, which I think sounds really awesome. Hey, it's Resurrection Sunday. Good Friday. The sinless Son of God died on the cross for our sins. So Good Friday, it's a dark day. It's a day of sacrifice. It's God showing his incredible penalty on the sinfulness of humanity, yours and mine, individually, not just collectively. And it's a day of death, of penalty, of sacrifice. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, new life, a chance to rise up afresh. And so you know what I want to do today with today's message? I want to have a little look at the way that kind of those first Christians looked at this idea of resurrection. And I also want us to understand that we ourselves will experience the resurrection, what that's going to be like. So we're going to unpack that a little bit. So let's just have a really quick look here at just a piece from the Bible. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the Apostle Paul's writing this and he said, I passed on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive. And you have to realize this. When the New Testament was being written, it was being written to the first generation of people. It was being written to people who themselves had seen Jesus doing his ministry. They'd heard his teachings. They'd seen his miracles. And now as the Apostle Paul is writing about so many who actually saw and experienced the resurrected Jesus Christ, he says a lot of them are still alive, but he says even though some have died, then he was seen by James, who was and later by all the apostles. And then he says this, and last of all, as though I'd been born at the wrong time, he says, I also saw him. So this is the Apostle Paul, because part of his own coming to faith, if you don't know your Bible very well, this man whose name was Saul was completely opposed to Christianity. It was called the Way, and he was persecuting it. He oversaw the first killing of a Christian. He was moving around, making sure the Christians were getting locked up. In that first outbreak of persecution, tradition says about 2,000 people died under this man's leadership. But then he had his own encounter with the Lord. And he said, in fact, he says, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But he says, but tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead. I think I just went forward two slides. Here we go. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, he said, I also saw him. He says, for I am the least of all the apostles. There we go. He's the least. Now, he goes forward and he applies what has taken place. He says, but tell me this, because some people are wanting to challenge, because this idea of resurrection is enough to actually cause some people to say, oh, hang on, how's all this going to work? And he said, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there'll be no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. So as far as the Apostle Paul was concerned, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was absolutely foundational and fundamental. Jesus said it was going to happen in advance. He stated in advance that he was going to be raised from the dead. And so the Apostle Paul is saying here, look, this is not mythological. It's not just symbolic. It's literal. It really did happen. He says, if it didn't happen, this whole deal is just a waste and it's not even real. So as far as the first generation of Christians were concerned, and those who saw Jesus, who touched him, who spoke with him, some of you might be able to relate to Thomas, who was one of the 12 apostles. At the time when Jesus was raised from the dead, Thomas wasn't there initially when Jesus appeared to some of the others. And Thomas said, look, guys, it's all over. It's been fun. But he said, I'm not going to believe. He said, unless I can stick my fingers in the holes in his hands, put my fist in the hole in his side, which a Roman soldier did when they stabbed him on the cross. He said, I'm not going to believe. And then Jesus came and appeared to Thomas with the others. He said, Thomas, don't doubt, but believe. Here, put your fingers in my hand, put your fist in my side. And that's where we get this turn of phrase, a doubting Thomas. It goes back to that, that example. So as far as they were concerned, the resurrection was real. Now, Jesus spoke about it. We have this example. He went to a mate's funeral, and a gentleman by the name of Lazarus, and he's chatting to Lazarus's sister, Mary. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." So Jesus himself here is speaking about the reality of life after death. But he actually connects it. I want you to see that in the text here. Anyone who believes in me, that is, you've put your trust in him. It's not just an intellectual assent. It's actually that we posture ourselves with trust. We say, "Jesus, what you did on the cross, you did for me." Is that your story? You prepared to, with humility and faith, open your heart to what Jesus did for you on Good Friday. Anyone who believes in me, Jesus said, will live. Even, look at this, even after dying. So Jesus spoke in advance. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. So the Bible speaks about death and the reality of the resurrection, just like falling asleep and waking up. That's why, as we'll see a little bit later on, where the Bible says, "Death, where is your victory? Where is your sting?" Like Jesus has conquered death. It's a really wonderful thing. So this is part of the beauty of Resurrection Sunday, where humanity gets to look one another in the eye and say, "You are an eternal person who will one day experience the resurrection." That's what the Bible teaches. As far as kind of what that's like, we get this lovely statement here from Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude, so it's verse 24. And it says, "Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and who will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault." That means we're going to be changed. Well, it says the arrival is incredibly joyful. No one gets to sneak in there. You don't need to sneak in there. Because our faith is in Jesus, because of what he has done for me, I get to arrive absolutely faultless. Where is it? Where is it? He's gonna bring me into his glorious presence without a single fault. Now, you only have to speak to Edie if you know my wife, Edie. She'll tell you, "I've got a ton of faults." But on that day when I arrive in God's presence with incredible joy, great joy, I'm going to arrive without a single fault. Why? Because I'm a forgiven person. You have that potential. You can arrive in the presence of God as a forgiven person because of what Jesus has done for you. Now, the Bible gives a lot more detail than that. The Bible speaks about how we are changed from what our current experience is right now to that eternal experience. And it really does speak overtly to it. Look here, I'm still in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, "Someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have?" Are you interested in that? Like, what kind of body are you going to have in your resurrected state? Well, the Bible speaks really overtly to it. Here, listen to this. It says, "There are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun was one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind. And even the stars differ from each other in their glory. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead." So we're going to be different. Speaks about kind of these different types of glory. We actually will be different in the eternal state and different from one another. It says, "Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever." Well, there's kind of shift number one, because right now our only experience is temporal. Our only experience is that we get older. Our only experience, one day at a time, one year at a time, we get older, our bodies age. But with this resurrected body, it's a body that will, it's raised to live forever. It's hard for us even to get our minds around that, but that's actually what the Bible teaches. It says our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they'll be raised in glory. And so we get these types of language being used. They're going to be raised forever. They're going to be raised in glory, but he keeps adding to it. They are buried in weakness, but they'll be raised in strength. Now, for some of you who are listening right now, and especially if you've made your way into your senior citizen years where the strength of your youth has departed, you can't move as quickly as you used to be able to move. Some it's just a memory being able to even just touch the ground to be able to get back down there and get back up. There's a beautiful couple here at Crossway, Jeff and Louise. They were both born with cerebral palsy. I actually conducted their wedding ceremony as they committed to one another. They've been part of the church here 25 or 30 years, and they're wheelchair bound. Their body doesn't cooperate. There's a person inside there, and while Jeff is able to speak, Louise is not. So Louise can only use a speech board to respond with some fairly simple things, but she's able to touch it and make it speak on her behalf. And I remember looking at Louise one day and saying, Louise, one day, you'll be able to speak to me. One day. And I'm talking about in this resurrected state. And that's exactly what the two of us have been chatting about. One day, you're going to get a new body. It's going to be a body that works. Now, I don't know where you're up to in your life's journey, but for some, the idea of getting a new body, getting that which is glorious, getting that which is strong, getting that which will last forever. I love it elsewhere in the New Testament. It says, nor has seen, nor ear has heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of humanity, the good things that God has in store for those who love him. In other words, it's better than you can possibly imagine. So the apostle goes on, he says, they are buried as natural human bodies, but they'll be raised as spiritual bodies. Now, spiritual bodies, but nonetheless, Jesus' resurrected body, he was able to speak, they could see him, they could touch him, he was able to do things. He did a barbecue for the apostles when he called them on the Sea of Galilee, he ate with them. And so these spiritual bodies, the way it speaks here about them being spiritual bodies, there's also something that's very much tactile and real about it as well. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. Now, the chapter goes on just a little bit further forward where it says, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Isn't that amazing? It's the caterpillar through the cocoon to the butterfly type scenario. There is a transformation that takes place. There is a metamorphosis that takes place as we move from this realm as we know it now into an eternal realm with all of its glory. And it says, then our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die. And when that happens, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? So the activity of Jesus completely removes those who put their trust in him, those who are prepared to accept this biblical narrative about what happens to us when we die, that we sleep, that we wake up. It says, right now we know in part, but then we'll know fully. Right now we see in part, but then we'll see. Like now it's like we see through a dirty window, but then we'll see fully. We know in part, then we'll know fully, even as we're fully known. That we get this glorious statement about the reality of the realm to come. This is actually the seminal thought at the heart of so many Negro spirituals that were written by Christian people who were in slavery, usually in the southern part of the United States. And the Negro spirituals were written in that realm where their life experience wasn't wonderful, and they longed for an alternate experience. It's interesting, even people in the developing world right now, as they look at the incredible prosperity of the West, they long for an eternal realm. They long for justice as well, where they feel like justice is not being extended to them. Now, this period we're in right now, this period where we're being confined to our homes, all non-essential travel is being discouraged, it doesn't feel much like a gift. Or it feels like if there is a gift in there, the wrapping is terrible. Like, you might not be enjoying this experience at all, but I want you to know something. You will come out of this experience differently. we will emerge from this death-like pandemic, hearing the daily news of how many people in the different countries have passed away overnight, and seeing not only the physical toll that's taking place, but the emotional toll, the economic toll for those who have lost their jobs, those for whom their businesses closed down, those who are saying, I'm not sure how we're going to come out of this thing. But what I do want to say is we will emerge from this. There is actually going to be, if it feels right now like society has been put into a tomb, well, there's a Resurrection Sunday. There is hope. There is life beyond the grave. There is a life beyond our current restrained experience. But I guess here's part of what I'd like us to catch right now. Don't miss the gift in the ugly wrapping. Don't miss the gift. There is life to be experienced right now. God graces us with a gift. How many of you have had hours injected into your week because you're not having to travel back and forward to work? You're not having to be doing a whole lot of running around like you would normally be doing. You've got all this time that's been pushed back into your week. That is a gift. How many are experiencing, now that you've maybe got a little bit beyond the fight or flight immediate stress, how many of you are starting to experience that sense of getting recentered? How many of you are starting to experience an increased sense of God? I was fascinated to hear one of the reports on the news, and where one person was reporting how they were just recovering, but they'd been in intensive care. It was a man, and he said, "I was just praying. I was praying to God." And I thought, how fascinating for humanity. Now, maybe I don't know that man's story, but it's so true. They say there are no atheists in the trenches of war, and maybe there are no or few atheists. To say there are none would probably be overreach. But I tell you what, when we realize we're not in control, our sense of our awareness that there is a God there. So please hear this on this Resurrection Sunday. You are known. You are loved. And your life matters. And there's a gift that's being given to you right now as you rediscover who you are, as you have more time together as a family. Those of you who are living by yourself, utilize this greater amount of time for social connectedness online. Pick up the phone, call somebody up, have a good chat. We can be agents of life right now. And this, for me, is actually a really important part of what we're going through right now. For each one of us, to be agents of life, resurrection life, back into our own communities, even in our isolation. Now, this statement here is one of Crossway's values. Everyone gets to play. We talk about the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. Now, we don't kind of professionalize up kind of onto the platform or with the clergy, the mission of God. We here at Crossway, we say, hey, it's in your hands. And if you're a follower of Jesus, it's in your hands, it's in your street. You can actually bring life. You can be an agent of change very positively. Now, Pastor Mark earlier was saying how we've seen a fourfold increase in our distribution of food. That's only possible because some of you are being agents of change. Some of you are donating, increased the number of groceries. We see it as like a miraculous provision from God. That the organization Oz Harvest, multiple charities had to close down. We were on a waiting list with them. And all of a sudden, we kind of came into their orbit. And so now large volumes of fresh food are being mobilized. People with very safe social distancing practices and healthy, what it looks like to share food without sharing anything else. We've seen a significant growth, fourfold growth just in recent weeks. But we see much greater potential happening there as well. Here's a lovely one. In as much as students are going to be studying from home for months now, we have this opportunity. If you've got a computer you're not using, you might say, oh, it's a dead old computer. It's sitting in the shed or in the cupboard and it doesn't work anymore. Well, one of our people who's already offered himself, but you might have these skills as well, is prepared to refresh the innards of the computer. In other words, to update it on the inside. Apparently, there's a few fairly simple things that can be done. And then we're going to donate those computers to families who need them so that their kids can study. So that, there's an opportunity there. If you have a computer you want to donate, bring it to the Life Care Center. It is still open. It is an essential service. And all of our the work that we do through Life Care, including women who experience domestic violence, including subsidized professional counseling for people who need it, and there's so many layers, community mentoring that we do through it. By the grace of God, we've been able to push all of that online. It is still fully functioning. But you can come to the facility, therefore the Life Care facility on Highbury Road, and you can donate a computer there if you'd like, and we will updo it. A computer that's old, we'll update it and we'll donate it out there. We're doing shopping for the vulnerable. Some of you are saying, hey, I actually have money in my account, but I'm vulnerable if I go to the shops. You don't want to go to the shops. We will do shopping for you. And there's you'll be able to see all that sort of stuff. And what's more, you can become the pastor just on your street. Like one of our guys put something together like this or utilized something like this. Hey, neighbor, I'm happy to help out. And you put your name, you put your address. You can reach me on this number. And just some very simple activities you can do for them. You can pick up groceries for them. You can go and get medication. So Edie and I have started action some of this. Both of my parents are in their 80s. They live separately from one another. So we've started doing the shopping for them. We've made that offer to other neighbors in our street. Hey, any way that we can help out. That is simply bringing life to your street, being an agent of life. Now, I also want you to know, our life groups have all moved online. And it's a perfect time to join a life group. And we use a simple tool called Zoom. It's free. It's available to you. And so a group of people from all these different homes, at the same time, they all jump in together. You can experience community. Please don't be lonely through this time. So I'm going to show you in just a second. If you go to crossway.org.au, I'm going to show you the slide in just a second. I'll show you how you can get into a life group. And can I also say, you don't have to be a Christian to get into a life group. You might say, look, I'd be happy to kind of check this out a little bit more. We are a come-as-you-are environment. You don't have to believe to belong. You can belong in these environments, and it opens up a space to inquire. Great space to be able to read a Bible with a friend right now, just online. And what a great time to invite your entire network to church online. It's never been easier. If anyone from my street, in fact, some people from my street told me, because I sent out an invitation, I said, hey, I'm speaking Easter Sunday morning. Would love to have you come along. Some people from my street already texted me saying, we're going to come. And I don't think they've been to Crossway before. Maybe yes, maybe no, not that I'm aware of. So it's great to have you here with us today. Some came last Sunday as well, just from my street. Invite your network. Invite your network. It's as simple as sharing the link with them for Facebook, for the feed of the service. You can have a chat about that. Now, if you do go to crossway.org.au, you're going to open up a page like this, and it's all been refreshed, but you can touch on, hey, you need groceries. You might need a free delivery. You might be doing it tough right now financially. You might say, hey, now look, I've got the funds, but I really would like someone to help me get it. And so we can do that. There's all sorts of practical care needs there. You might like someone to pray with you just because you're feeling isolated. You might be feeling anxious. But this one here, Next Steps, if you click this Next Steps button, that will take you to a space where you can indicate if maybe for the first time you put your trust in Jesus. That's where you'd go if you wanted to join a life group. Someone will be in touch with you if you do that. So there's lots of really practical next steps that can be taken. So it's Resurrection Sunday. You are an eternal person. You really are. You are an eternal person having a temporary experience right now on planet Earth, but there is a whole lot more out there. And what Easter tells us is that God has demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then what we experience on Resurrection Sunday is new life, and we can be agents of life. Now, all around the world, I'm hearing people refer to this, and if you want to go to another website, go to Unite 7:14. And it's trading off the reference of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Unite 7:14, and Pastor Mark actually quoted this earlier in the service. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will restore their land. So here's what people all around the world are being encouraged to do. Set an alarm for 7:14. 7:14 a.m., 7:14 p.m. Two very simple prayers. Two simple prayers. Ask God for forgiveness. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So let's ask for forgiveness. And then let's pray for God to heal our land. Let's ask God to bless our scientific community. Let's ask God to prosper the work of those who are looking for a vaccine for the coronavirus. Let's pray to God for healing in our land and in the nations of the world. Resurrection Sunday, you are an eternal person. You really are. God has demonstrated his love for you. Christ died on the cross for your sins, and Jesus has conquered death. He rose again on Easter Sunday morning, what we call Easter Sunday morning, and sin and hell and death and the devil, all the suffering, all the pain. You know, in the eternal state, it says God will wipe away every tear from every eye. No more pain, no more suffering, but only eternal joy. Have you ever put your trust in Jesus? Ball's in your court. God's done everything that needs to be done. God has come to you, and even now in your lounge room, he fills your home. Even now, on this Resurrection Sunday, God fills your home. He's there for you right now. Cast your cares onto him, because he cares for you. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." The invitation from God is extended to you right now in your home. So what I'm going to invite us to do is simply to bow our heads. Let's be prayerfully mindful of the presence of God. And how about we find gratitude in there? Father in heaven, thank you so much. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you've come for us. Thank you for Jesus being prepared to die on the cross. Thank you for his great victory over death. And Father in heaven, I pray right now for every person who opens their heart in faith to you right now. Father, I pray that you'd come to them. Help them to turn away from feeling like they're doing their own life their own way, and help them to actually know what it looks like to put their trust in you. You might in your own heart of hearts just say, "Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. I'm turning to you now. I'm not asking whether you're religious. I'm encouraging you to turn your heart towards God. There is a greater version of you inside of you who, when forgiven and when born afresh, when given new life as a son or a daughter of the living God, there's a greater version of you inside of you just waiting to come out. So God in heaven, I pray you'd make it happen. You are good. God, you are good. You're always good. And we love you and we thank you. So I tell you what, in your homes right now, how about you jump up on your feet and join? You'll be able to see the words coming up on the screen as well. Come on, let's sing together. Lord, you are good and you're